that's what we have more of than some of the other possibilities. For example, a good cheap technology is geothermal power if you need to go to something renewable. But apparently, Illinois' geography and geology is not really perfect for the geothermal power. And yet, you can see windmills all around Illinois. It actually works pretty well, a fairly low-cost form of renewable energy to the extent that we're going to have to use renewable energy.
Why do you think wind is a better option, say, than natural gas?
It's not necessarily better. We're going to have to use a portfolio of multiple options, partly because we won't really know what the best technology is going to be more decades down the road. We need to learn these technologies, and probably the cheapest and best thing to do initially for the very first step to reduce carbon emissions would be to switch to natural gas, because we know that technology and because it's currently cheap. The problem is that looking down the road further, we expect wind energy to get cheaper. The carbon emission mandate is going to become more stringent. So as wind power gets cheaper and as the mandate gets more stringent, we'll have to switch more eventually toward other renewables and not just natural gas. Even though it is lower emissions, it's still positive emissions for natural gas. And so we're going to be looking for other alternatives. Solar power is not ruled out because we certainly have some sun in Illinois, but it's not projected to be as cheap as wind power, or to be even more expensive than wind power, I should say. We don't know what those prices are going to be, so we need to investigate all these alternatives.
When you go about trying to project the cost of energy 15, 20 years down the road, how do you go about doing that?
We did not do that in our own study. We cited some numbers from the U.S. Energy Information Administration. So we're sort of going on that basis. But their projections down the road, basically, the story is that the new technologies, the costs are going to improve more rapidly, and in fact, those costs will fall at a more rapid rate the more we use of them. In other words, it's called learning by doing. The more windmills we have and the more people that are trained to build them and use them and the more experience we get with that technology, the cheaper it's going to be. So sitting on our haunches now and doing nothing and waiting a couple decades and then starting on something like wind power when absolutely necessary is probably not a good way to plan for that event. A better way might be to start earlier in order to start learning about the technology, in order to get some people trained to be able to use it. And then when the federal mandate gets more stringent, Illinois will be in a better position to take advantage of the best available technologies and to have those costs to be lower than they otherwise would be.
How has Illinois done wind so far, and what are some areas for growth for wind power in the future?
Well, that's an interesting question because it's one of the aspects of our study was to focus on where the windmills might be looking down the road. And so far, all of them are what's called onshore, in other words, on land, and they're in farms. They're on farms. It's not a bad way to do it. In fact, it's relatively cheap to rent some land from the farmers. It doesn't use up most of their farm. There's only a small patch of ground that they need for the base of the windmill, and most of the farm is still used for farming. And then you can put, you know, hundreds of these things, or at least dozens of them, in a given area. And you've seen them along the interstate highways driving down central Illinois. But to the extent that those get filled up, and to the extent that we're investigating more different alternatives, a future possibility might be to put these windmills offshore. And there's sort of two choices that we talk about in the paper. One is near the shore in Lake Michigan, and the other option is further offshore. And the difference is that the ones near shore will be a bit cheaper than the ones further away because the water's not as deep. You don't have to transport the windmills out there. It's just easier to set up when it's not too deep and too far away from the shore. But it has the disadvantage of being able to see those windmills from the coastline or from the beach. And so there might be some aesthetic costs if people don't like the view of the windmills disturbing the natural view of Lake Michigan. We're not sure what's the size of that problem. And so, you know, if Illinois was going to investigate this, we might need some surveys or some measurement or get, you know, to just get a feeling from people how costly that might be, or what's the problem, or is that really bad, or you know, maybe some people like that idea of being able to see the windmills nearby the shore. The advantage of putting them offshore like that is that there's more wind and it doesn't use up any land. It doesn't use up farmland. There's more wind. It's actually sort of cost effective to put the windmills out there. But if you want to avoid the unsightly aesthetic cost of having them near the shore and put these windmills further away, then they become more expensive.
And I'm curious, I didn't really see much in the paper about that, but I didn't know if you had founded some research, you know, what the lifespan of these wind turbines usually is, how that gets factored into the cost of wind energy down the road.
We didn't measure that specifically or talk about that much in the paper. They have more fixed cost up front than they do, you know, over the decades that they're in operation. So it's a big investment to put up, you know, not just one of those, but a whole field, especially a field of these windmills. But then they last for decades, something on the order of 30 years, and they'll keep generating energy with relatively low cost for maintenance. They're not always working. Sometimes any one of them might need adjustments or break down and need repair. But those costs are relatively low compared to the upfront cost. And like right now, by the way, wind is not really cost effective, nor is solar power or geothermal. I mean, the cheapest way to generate electricity is good old coal-fired power plant. Coal is cheap. The problem is that those generate a lot of carbon dioxide emissions, which is a greenhouse gas, which is, not just causing problems with climate change for the world and sea level rise, as well as health damages and, lost biodiversity and general sort of heat problems around the country. But, you know, whether you worry about that or not kind of doesn't matter, because now Illinois is going to be facing this federal mandate. So Illinois will have to cut its emissions by 31% relative to 2005 levels by the year 2030. So we don't have to do anything yet, and we can sit on our hands for another 5 or 10 years and not do much. We have to, pose a plan to the federal government according to the new rule under the Clean Power Plan. Illinois will need to make a plan, but we don't have to execute the plan yet. We could sit around and do nothing, but that'll make it more costly later. And so the general recommendation here is to get started learning the technologies and get started on the implementation so as to have a gradual transition instead of just waiting and getting ourselves into a crisis state.
Don, should Illinois decide to go with the wind route to expand wind energy, what are some other places that Illinois can look to in as example of how wind has been done previously?
Well, we mentioned in the paper that Europe has generally more experience, especially Netherlands and Denmark. They actually have a lot of wind power, and a lot of it is offshore. And so if you want to learn about the technology for installing wind energy turbines offshore in Lake Michigan, you know, it might be worth learning from what's been done in Denmark, especially, and elsewhere in Europe to put windmills, not just on land. We have some experience with that in Illinois. But there's actually no place in the United States that has operating windmills offshore. So might need to go to Europe to learn more about how to do that.
And, Don, I saw that this is part of what's called the Climate Change Policy Initiative. What is that initiative, and how long have you been working on it?
Well, the IGPA is interested in trying to help policymakers with information and policy analysis. It's meant to be, unbiased, objective, pros and cons of these different alternatives, just to help inform policymakers to make good choices for us. And, there's a lot of different policy problems. I mean, we have initiatives going on about education policy and about other social policies, about economic policy, and this one is about climate change policy because that's one of my interests in my research. So we might study, economic effects of air emissions or water pollution or, water sustainability, water quality, and that's another climate change issue. But by calling it a climate change initiative, it just means we're going to focus on these problems from climate change and climate change policy. So one of the things Illinois does have to worry about, regardless of whether you want to do anything to reduce carbon dioxide emissions in the state of Illinois, there's going to be climate change. That's going to depend, the extent of that's going to depend upon how much everybody else cuts their carbon emissions around the world. But even if everybody cuts their carbon emissions around the world, we're still going to get some climate change. And that means Illinois is going to become hotter. And that means that policymakers might want to start preparing for that. And that could involve health problems, heat stroke, and heart attacks that come with the heat. I might want to make sure everybody has access to air-conditioned environments on especially hot days. There's also going to be problems with climate change, with storm management, because we're going to have more floods and we'll have more droughts. So this is part of our climate change initiative, is to think about what the state of Illinois might need to do to protect our agricultural production when there's droughts, or indeed more extra rain in the springtime. There could be floods that wash away the seeds during seeding parts of the year, and drought during the summer when the plants are trying to grow. You know, heat problems, stormwater management at the city of Chicago, and all these problems just adapting to the climate change we're going to get.